and Sean Hannity here with a highlight from my radio show today, right here on iHeartRadio.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, thanks, Scott. Shannon, glad you're with us. Toll free, our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. A fascinating story about one person's search to actually get on the Obamacare exchange. And joining us now is Luke Chung. He's got a pretty fascinating background. Born in 1964 in New York City to immigrants from Taiwan. Grew up in Orlando, Sarasota, where he graduated from high school, and then he attended Harvard. He studied engineering, got a master's degree, worked on a project to help destroy U.S. chemical weapons dumped on in a particular place, and et cetera, and some other things that he worked on. Anyway, he is just an expert on all types of these things, and he went through a little, well, let's just say, experiment as it relates to the Obamacare website, and Luke joins us now. Luke, how are you?
Good. Thank you very much for having me.
What a nice background. Pretty incredible story. It's the American dream personified. Good for you.
Well, thank you. And I'm also honored to speak with you. I know you've gone through your ups and downs to work yourself up to where you are today. So that's great, too.
You know what? Best thing that ever happened to me, honestly. And you appreciate things in life a little bit more. Gives you a perspective that you're never going to lose in life. Anyway, I'm proud of it and glad for it. But let's start with a little bit of your background. You really understand engineering. Explain that part of it.
Well, I understand how software should be developed. I understand how data should be managed and kept and secured and analyzed. I've had a software company now for 27 years, FMS, FMSinc.com, and we create a variety of products for people that use databases. Customers all around the world. We've created products just for commercial use. We've created products in the counterterrorism law enforcement space. We've created custom solutions for organizations both domestically and internationally. I have a good sense for what's involved in creating a good application, and that's what was so shocking for me when I first visited the healthcare.gov site on the first day.
So you went there the first day, and because of your background, you wanted to review what was being offered and basically decide for yourself whether or not this was put together well, and tell us your experience.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I'm a small business owner, so I have to buy insurance for my people, unsubsidized, and, you know, the whole insurance business is pretty challenging for a small business over the years. So I just wanted to go up there and get a price quote. Doesn't mean I'm going to get it. It just means that I wanted to compare what the prices were being offered under the Affordable Care Act for my family versus what I'm already paying. Pretty straightforward. And as a business owner, I'm open to more options, right? Mm-hmm. So when I went online to get this quote, I was just astonished by how many questions, how many personal questions it was asking in order for me to get a quote.
By the way, like, what's your favorite food? Ainsley Earhart got on. Well, you know, she wrote Italian. I mean, what is she supposed to say? Steak?
You know, it's just not the way a website would be designed to be welcoming, right? When you go to any other e-commerce site, you don't have to provide any information about yourself before they show you what your options are, what the prices are.
Did you have any problems actually getting on? The first 2 weeks, we couldn't even get on the site. You got on day one.
I did get on day one because it was like 5 in the morning or something like that.
Oh, now that's the trick. You got to go on at 5 in the morning.
But you know what? It wasn't so. Yeah, I didn't expect this would be a technological quality assurance assignment. All right, I was there as a consumer just to check things out. And as I started using the system, it was crashing. It was asking stupid questions. It was so complicated that I began to take notes about what an awful experience it was. And that's where I wrote up my blog later that day, blog.fmsinc.com, that called this site, you know, healthcare.gov is a technical disaster. Mm-hmm. And I laid out the reason why it was a technological disaster and could tell that it had nothing to do with too many users.
Well, really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting point. Because now we spent $634 million Now, you're an engineer. You went to Harvard. Anybody who goes to Harvard, I would assume, is pretty smart. Most people, unless they're getting in on the friends and family legacy plan, I would assume you're a pretty smart person to get there. And so we spent $634 million on that website. What would your company be able to build a website like like the one they should have put together?
You know, I don't know all the details of what they needed to do, but that is a huge amount of money. There's some question about whether that number is correct or not. I think the numbers are around $100 million or maybe $200 million, but regardless, it's a huge amount of money. And let's put this in context. This website really has nothing to do with providing healthcare or even providing healthcare insurance. It's essentially a data entry screen to automate a paper form. This is about applying for insurance.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, so this should be fairly simple. Collect the information you need and give me some options. And this is just designed totally wrong. It's designed without thinking about the buying process.
Wow.
They're collecting all sorts of information up front as if when you got to the end of it, you would click on a button and have your insurance.
All right, so you say it's a technological disaster. So you go online at 5:30 in the morning and you find out it's a mess. You look at this from a technical standpoint, which is your area of expertise, and you realize that they screwed it up from the very beginning. Then you find out that it was outsourced to a Canadian company without a bidding process. And then you find out that they paid $634 million to put that together. And then I've got to ask you, if you were asked, with all your knowledge, your education, your background, by the way, which I would never know where to begin. I'm not very technically savvy like you are. If I said to you, I'm going to give you $5 million and that was your charge, let me ask you, do you think you can come as close to this or do better than that?
Absolutely. You know, I actually be embarrassed to accept more than $1 million.
This is 2013.
Hard.
This is 2013. Everybody has a website.
Well, this is, you know, I just don't know who built it, and so I'm not privy to that. And as far as the company CGI is concerned, I know they own a big software company that used to be independent in Virginia called AMS. So I presume it's the local people that are doing it. It just happens to have a Canadian owner. But this is bread and butter kind of things. You collect information from people. You do some lookups if you need to hit the IRS or whatever, and then you come back and say, you know, here's your subsidy. But the challenge is whoever designed it didn't even designed it in a way to make it difficult to build and make it an awful experience for the user. And there was no reason for that.
Wow.
You know?
And it's such a waste of money. I mean, that's the first thing that shocked me in this was the cost factor.
Mm-hmm.
And only government could really this to me is far worse than, like, remember we used to talk about the $600 hammers that the government was buying?
Mm-hmm.
It seems far worse than that. Does it give you concern about, well, if this is the rollout and it's such a botched technological nightmare, you call it technological disaster, what is the healthcare side of this going to look like? Does it make you wonder?
Well, I think this is, you know, maybe the tip of the iceberg, really, or indicative of all sorts of systems that the government has built for all sorts of agencies, both civilian and defense.
Well, tell us a little bit more about your experience, because they asked a lot of personal questions. That was the one thing that Ainsley told us that surprised me the most. Why do they want to know what kind of food I eat?
Well, they didn't ask what kind of food I ate, but they did ask for Social Security numbers, birth dates for each member of my family, how everybody was related to each other, which was really odd. I've never been asked how one daughter was related to the other daughter, but okay. Then it asked for race information, which seemed odd because I presume pricing isn't based on race.
You would think so, right?
I would hope not, right? Or maybe you need to go find.
No, I agree. I would hope
not. What that question was for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, I mean, it just asked lots of questions that one could tell weren't relevant to the immediate point at hand, which was to give me some quote and options. Maybe they need that information when you actually apply, but there was no reason to ask for that information up front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, you go to a bank website if you want to get a mortgage or an auto loan or something like that, and you can answer a few questions that would give you a price quote without having to give them anything personal. You know, maybe you'll get a quote for a 30-year versus 15-year mortgage and an ARM or something like that. And then when you actually make a decision, you would provide the information that would be quite detailed and personal.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to shop without having to provide that, right? You get to go on to Amazon.com and find out what you may want to buy and what the prices are without giving them your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed totally backwards, totally wrong in terms of the way people would buy insurance or any product or service.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I find this pretty fascinating. I almost wish that, you know, I had just a spare amount of money or live, you know, hanging around. I'd like to get one smart person to build a better site and do it for like $500,000 and really expose the government for being the idiots that they are. I mean, if I had money to throw away like that, I would do it.
Right.
I mean, it really is frightening to me that only government can screw things up that bad. Because you know what? That may not sound like a lot of money when we're dealing with $17 trillion in debt and we're dealing with, you know, $90 trillion in unfunded liabilities. But you think of where that $634 million wasted comes from? That comes from contractors and carpenters and nurses and doctors and lawyers and engineers like yourself and small business people like yourself and, you know, people that are working hard for that money. You know what?
Right.
That's $634 million back in their pocket that wasn't wasted and squandered.
Right. Right. No. And, you know, there's lots of this, obviously. You know, I mean, to put this in context, and I think this is important because most people, and even, this takes a place both in government and in private sector, most people don't understand how much technology costs. Right, so you could go up and say it's going to be $1 million or $100 million, and the people who are funding it are like, well, I don't know. They say it's going to be that much, and they do it. So we did a project for the Pan American Health Organization, which is part of the World Health Organization, and we did it in conjunction with six UN agencies to create a system to manage humanitarian relief logistics.
Mm-hmm.
This is managing data in war zones, earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, whatever, to get the right supplies to the right people in, let's say, the first 30 days of a disaster where lives are on the line. We created this website and also a PC desktop-based system that is deployed in over 100 countries, totally localizable to whatever language people are using there. It costs $500,000.
Unbelievable.
And does a lot more than filling out one form.
Unbelievable. You know, I wonder if American people are going to pay attention to that. Now, let me ask you, have you made a lot of websites in your life?
We have.
Yeah. Like how many, if I had to ask you?
Oh, you know, our team has probably made 20, 30, something like that.
What is, like, the bandwidth that you'd need for something like that? And I'm probably using the wrong tech term, so forgive me. I'm not tech savvy.
Right. Well, if it's built properly, one can handle a huge volume of users.
Explain what a huge, define a huge volume.
Thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people using it simultaneously.
Okay, so sort of like servers that, for example, there's websites that carry this show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there can be as many as 100,000, 200,000 people listening at one time. So
right.
Something like that would be comparable.
Yep.
Yeah.
The way that it would be done nowadays is one would host it on a commercial cloud platform like Amazon or Microsoft mm-hmm. Azure that would automatically scale and add more bandwidth and more computers as volume increased.
Right. So in other words, if you needed to build it where maybe you would have 5 million people on there at once, it would automatically grow and add the bandwidth as needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when the people weren't there, it would decrease and you know, you wouldn't pay for all that bandwidth. That's commercial. That's a non-issue. That's like, you know, when I plug something into the wall, electricity comes out. It doesn't matter how many things I plug into the wall. Somehow there's always electricity there.
And so, in other words, that's not that expensive.
No.
It does make it.
Not that
you know,
expensive. I mean, anyone,
I don't know what your – are you political at all? I don't have any idea what your politics are. Are you political at all?
Well, Sean, you know, for this issue, I'm trying to stay apolitical because, you know, my expertise is on the technical side, not the political side.
Yeah, I know. You're afraid that the IRS will check you. Listen, I have friends of mine saying, don't call me. Because being associated with me is not very good because they assume they're going to get audited, too.
Well, you know, I don't run a cash business, so everything is traced. You know, it's okay.
Yeah, thanks for the caveats and the disclaimer there. We appreciate it. All right. Well, listen, Luke, I really enjoyed talking to you. Congrats on all your success. And I don't know, maybe I'll call some rich people, friends of mine, and see if we can build it for them for like $500,000 and then give it to them. Maybe I'll give a gift to the federal government.
You know, it's been over 2 weeks. Within that period of time, we could have created, with a handful of people, a website
something better
that would have allowed people to get through this system, get an unsubsidized quote right away. They could have clicked something to say, give me an estimate for what my subsidy would be. They would type in a few things, nothing personal, and it would give them an estimate.
I got to tell
Very
you, Luke,
easy.
This is an amazing story. Thank you, my friend. God bless you and your business, okay? What an incredible story. All right, 800-941-SHAWN is our number. We'll continue.
For more of the Sean Hannity Show, go to Hannity.com.